Calling all league commissioners. Mazey is an awesome, simple, and free app that's going to make your life easier. Mazey offers a dedicated, separate place for all of your fantasy football communications so you can talk football as much as you want without cluttering up the rest of your life. Plus, chat on Mazey is multi-channel, meaning you can easily separate trash talk from important announcements. Best of all, setting up your league on Mazey is fast and easy. You don't need email addresses, logins, or passwords. All it takes is a mobile phone number. See for yourself why league commissioners love Mazey. Just search for Mazey, M-A-Z-E-Y, in the App Store and download today or go to mazey.co/live. Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you. Oh, it is a packed house in the podcast studio, literally and figuratively, trying to cram this much personality into this room. Oh, baby, it is tough to do. Joined alongside by the magical beard of fantasy himself, we've got the franchise. It is Matt Franciscovich. What's up?
Oh, had a nice little auction draft last night.
Okay.
It was out of control. Jamal Williams went for $35. I don't even know who these guys are, okay?
What?
I don't know what's going on. The market was way off the norm. Okay. It's like a keeper league.
Yes.
I don't know, man. But I've never been more excited for a preseason week than week four, baby.
Week four? What?
That's what I'm saying. Right?
I was about to get all hyphy on that. And I'm like, wait, no, it's week four preseason, bro.
Exactly. There's, that's what I'm saying. There's Let's no get starters. Pumped. Let's get amped.
No, there's no start. There's nothing happening in week four, bro.
Well,
okay. We've got the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellar, in the studio with us. He is no longer the man behind the glass. He is not Mr. Wilson. He is Alex Gellhorn. What's cracking?
I don't know how to follow that up. I just got out of like a 45-minute corpo season kickoff meeting. So
give me one.
I'm not nearly as pumped as franchise is.
Give me one good corpo buzz phrase you heard today.
Synergize.
Synergize.
Classic.
Always a good one.
That's always.
That's the verb version of synergy, right?
Yeah, I like it. Synergize it. Synergize.
Didn't somebody hit us with Snapchatification like a week ago?
Yes. Yeah. That happened.
I wanted to fight somebody.
I was going to say, I'm morally offended.
I wanted to fight somebody when I heard that.
Snapchatification.
No, you did not hear that.
We really did.
That's not.
That's true.
That was a word really...
that was spoken out loud to us.
Wow. Beautiful. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, what's going on?
I just want to talk about the Snapchatification, I guess the Facebookification of our podcast here that, you know.
Indeed. What's up, Facebook Live? So for the regular viewers on Facebook Live, and of course, we stream this bad boy on my professional page. It's facebook.com/JamesDCo.
Professional.
Amateur page.
Amateur page, am I right? Huh? we have a little bit of a different setup today. You won't hear any of the drops today, and the audio will be a little bit whatever. Anyways, the bottom line is we appreciate you watching on that format. So there you go. We also have the creator of Reception Perception, one half of the Fantasy Hipsters, as well as West Virginia's finest. We have Matt Harmon in the building. What's going on?
What's up? It's good to be here. Exciting day. We just got breaking news on the timeline about Bruce Ellington. So.
What did I miss? I was in that
wasn't,
meeting.
It wasn't actually breaking news, but Michael Lombardi from The Ringer tweeted, Texans wide receiver Bruce Ellington will make the team as he's been one of the best wide receivers this preseason. Great pickup.
Did your heart skip a beat?
Oh, I'm so happy.
You loved him last year, and then he got hurt.
Yeah, and then he got hurt. Hamstring, and then the...
Why'd you love him so much?
Because he's good, and he was going to play like the high-volume slot receiver role in Chip Kelly's offense there in San Francisco. But now he's in Houston, where they're just bereft of wide receiver options outside of DeAndre Hopkins.
They got nobody.
Literally nobody. What's his name? Will Fuller is hurt. Uh-huh. Collarbone injury.
Yes.
Braxton Miller is not a real thing.
I think Jalen Strong
is not
hurt.
A real
Jalen Strong has not been good at all, and is also suspended. Yeah. So there's opportunity for Bruce Ellington.
Oh
my guy. I'm so excited about this.
It's all
nice.
It's all fun and games until J.J. Watt starts getting red zone targets.
That's a little right. deep sleeper.
Get him
there.
In there. Get him in there. We got a big time show in front of us here today. We're going to be talking about 2017 season predictions, and we will give you our hottest of hot takes, baby. That's going to be happening today. We're going to talk about some folks, and again, in that section, we're going to be talking about biggest disappointments, waiver wire ads, breakout players, fantasy MVP as well. We're going to make some more listener league announcements, and we will introduce a way to get into mean tweets. We're calling it Block Party.
Block Party!
Block Party!
So there was supposed to be a drop there, right?
We may get it before
the
end of the show.
We probably won't, so we'll probably just do that and just annoy the crap out of you. So there you go. We'll find some interesting tweets that have come our way, and we will then subsequently block those folks. So there you go. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll close out with a round of Daily Daps, but we start your show, as always, with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
I watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife.
All right, we will start. How about in Dallas, okay? Let's start in Dallas. Zeke Elliott, his hearing just wrapped up. As I saw this come down, yes? Yes, it
yes.
Just wrapped up. Yeah. Just wrapped up. So it's taken a few days here. Harold Henderson now on the clock. And I think there's been reports that there is some internal pressure to get a decision by Monday, today, Thursday. So we shall see what the decision shall be. Again, there's really only three possible outcomes here, right? That the suspension gets upheld and that Zeke accepts it and then he misses six games. That the suspension gets upheld and Zeke fights it, and a judge would then have to rule a stay or an injunction or whatever it might be. They fight this bad boy in court. We saw this already go down with Tom Brady. He played an entire year, so that would be interesting to see what happened for those folks who have already done their fantasy drafts. Or the suspension will get reduced, like we saw with Vontaze Burfict, who saw his five-game suspension reduced down to two, I believe?
Three.
Okay,
five
so there
to
you
three.
Go. So it would be interesting to see that happen as well for those folks who drafted Zeke Elliott like in the third round or something in their recent fantasy drafts. There's not a whole hell of a lot of analysis to give from a fantasy perspective until we know what's going to happen there. And it sounds like that will come down by Monday. All right, let's go to Philadelphia. The rumors surrounding LeGarrette Blount being cut will not go away, despite Doug Peterson saying publicly that Blount will have a, quote, big role in the offense. It's Philly.com writer now, Zach Berman, who writes, quote, "I think the Eagles would be well served to see if there's a better solution than LeGarrette Blount." He also postulates that Darren Sproles will get the most snaps in that backfield. Matt Harmon, we'll start with you, but I don't know what to make of these rumors, man. I mean, they signed LeGarrette Blount in the offseason. You think, okay, he's got a role in this offense, but then these rumors persist about him getting cut.
Yeah, I think it's always looked like a weird fit. I mean, in the preseason especially, they've tried to get him on, like, outside stretch plays, which it's like,
that
what
makes
you,
no
know,
sense.
What are you doing with LeGarrette
right.
Blount?
Can't
doing
do anything.
That? I mean, he's a hammer, and he fits really well with what New England wanted to do with him, but he doesn't really fit what the Eagles want to be, and they want to kind of spread the field with three wide receivers. I think they'll be in 11 personnel a lot.
Yep.
They don't have a fullback on the roster, unless I'm mistaken. So that is really how Blount needs to operate, and they just don't have the setup for him to be very productive there. I think he probably sticks on the roster, but, like, no way do I want to draft him in fantasy at all right now. I've buried him in my rankings, like running back 45-ish or something.
Where's he going in drafts right now?
He's still, because name value, I think he still goes pretty high, pulling up ADP right now.
Okay.
At different points in the offseason, he was like a fifth, sixth round pick.
Right.
And when he slipped to like the seventh round, I kind of liked taking him because I thought he had touchdown upside. But now, like, just what are you getting with LeGarrette Blount? You have no idea. He's going running back 28 on Fantasy Football Calculator right now, sixth round. That's a pretty clear red light. And I totally agree. I think Darren Sproles is the guy to have, leads the team in snaps. But Wendell Smallwood also probably figures in.
All you're getting with Blount is what he used to be before his amazing seasons in New England, was just a touchdown guy, because the Eagles were one of the highest volume teams in terms of running the ball inside the 5-yard line and at the goal line last year. Like, people forget Ryan Matthews had 8 rushing touchdowns.
That's
last
crazy.
Year. So, like, if you're drafting Blount, like, in the 8th to 10th round, you're kind of hoping he's maybe a touchdown upside flex sort of play. You're not expecting a lot of yardage. Certainly better not be expecting his production in New England, but these concerns or these rumors are making it, you know, much more concerning to draft him in that range.
All right, so Cam Newton expected to play week one. Andrew Luck is not. Let's start with Andrew Luck, because right now we're seeing his ADP, I mean, drop like a rock. He's gone from the fifth round to the ninth round over the last month on Fantasy Football Calculator. I got to say, I think at this point, franchise, I'm all out. I mean, ninth round, even then I wouldn't take him.
Yeah, it's like, he's one of those guys where, like, if you take him, you can't bank on him starting the first few weeks, so you have to have a backup plan later.
Yeah.
Like, get a guy like Carson Palmer, maybe Sam Bradford for the first few weeks. And then if you're getting Andrew Luck in the 10th, 12th round or wherever, where'd you say he was going, ninth round?
Ninth round, Fantasy Football Calculator.
That's pretty good value if he comes back week three and he is what he was.
But I think that's the concern. I don't see how, if this guy's not even throwing right now,
yeah,
how does he come back week three or whatever it might be and actually throw properly? You know what I'm saying?
He did play through a torn labrum all of last season and was still the quarterback four.
Which
so,
is
like,
insane.
He's a tough dude.
Oh, man.
But we have no idea what he's going to be like.
I think you're burning a hole in your roster if you draft him right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Would much rather spend that on somebody like Wendell Smallwood or anybody else. Like, stream the position, take a B-level quarterback even for the early portions, and then make an aggressive claim on Luck if he comes back and he's going to look good.
Right.
So, but where's the inflection point, though, for you where it becomes like, all right, I kind of got to do it.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, ninth round, I'm still out.
I don't think
Tenth round, I'm still out.
I'm just out. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
No, I'll because, like, well, let's say he gets down to 12. Are you still out at 12? I mean, at this point, we're really just taking sleepers anyway.
I mean, I guess.
I'm taking my quarterback one in round 12.
Right, exactly. That's what like, I'm going to get a guy who's going to play for me.
Yeah, I'll
like,
take Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, or Kirk Cousins, or Matthew Stafford, or Andy Dalton.
Obviously, the red flags are that he's not throwing, and Chuck Pagano and his ridiculous statement about I stay in my lane and I haven't seen him throw. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
What's your lane?
Like, seriously, like, you're the head coach. Like, what is your lane?
Not only that, it's like, bro, we know you're lying, dude. Like, why are you just bold-faced lying to everybody that you haven't seen this guy throw? You've seen him throw. Stop it.
I think the biggest red flag is the Colts kind of repeatedly saying, or at least implying, like, look, this isn't about the now. This is about the long term of Andrew Luck's career. That, to me, says, strap in. It may be a while before you see this guy again.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. What about Cam Newton, though? He is expected to play week one. Does it get you guys excited about a quarterback who last year was, I think he was a quarterback 16 or 17 or something, something ridiculously low, obviously was injured as well. But look, there's a lot of extra pieces there, and he has, before last year, consistently been a guy that was hovering around being a top five quarterback. We'll go to the Carolina Panthers fan, Matt Harmon. Can you get
We have one in the building?
Bro, I know.
You?
I mean, look, I know that you're extremely busy on Tinder, but can we?
It is my oldest sister's birthday, and I was just making sure while I remembered it in this moment to text her, because I am very
likely,
good at, I'm
likely
very good
nice.
At forgetting things. That's you want to see the receipts, bro?
No, we don't.
Anyways, what was the question? Something about Cam Newton?
Yeah,
I'm not worried about Cam Newton at this point. I think that the team is confident in him. I think I think it's something to think about.
Yeah.
And the biggest question to me is, does this offense get going like with this evolution that they've talked about that I do believe is going to happen this year? Is that going to get off to kind of a bumpy start in the first game? Perhaps. But I really like Cam Newton to bounce back this year. I think they have a great set of weapons right now with McCaffrey, with Greg Olsen, and Kelvin Benjamin, who's looked really good this preseason. I think he's going to get back to scoring about, you know, 8 touchdowns or something like that this year. And Cam, I'm not worried about in terms of the fact that he hasn't thrown all that much. I think they've wanted to take it slow and be cautious with him. But the fact that he did get out there in the preseason, I think, makes me feel better.
Threw a touchdown pass to Kelvin Benjamin. So
he did indeed. And that inside slant route that he threw there, you know, it was on time. I mean, it wasn't the zippiest of all Cam Newton balls, but, you know, I thought it was accurate. And I liked what I saw in the preseason. At least it was encouraging to see him throw and throw with a little bit of pace. It wasn't that crazy Cam Newton fastball, but a little bit of pace on that ball, I thought. So I thought it looked all right. So he's going just inside the top 100, you know, around round 9, 8, 9, 10. So I think you're getting okay value there for Cam, for a guy that could potentially be a top five quarterback. So,
yep.
And I know, look, I know there's some hand wringing about, you know, there's going to be less rushing touchdowns and all those kind of things, and he's not a great pocket passer. But the bottom line is, I think you're getting pretty good value.
I also do think that what's good coming off the shoulder surgery and him resting it a lot this offseason, they really are committed to giving him more layups this year, like with McCaffrey, with Curtis Samuel, with even a player like Russell Shepard, who's gotten a lot of positive buzz and positive reviews from
even going back to last
year. Yeah, I mean, they want to give this, they want to give Cam Newton in this passing game just more high percentage throws. I mean, last year, our next gen stats, he led all quarterbacks with percentage of passes thrown into tight windows, and I think we will see that come way
and
down this
a lot of air yards. All of his receivers were like way up there in ranks of air yards per target because it was just a lot of deep routes. Even Greg Olsen, I think, only trailed like Kyle Rudolph in intended air yards among tight ends. So like,
that's crazy.
Everybody was getting downfield there, and now he's got shorter passes that can still rack up fantasy points.
Whenever you think about air yards in Carolina, man, you just think about that ball going deep to Teddy.
Then you flip the coin as it's coming down.
Will he catch it? Will he not?
I mean, that was the absolute best watching that ball go up in the air to Ted Ginn. You're like,
now we get to watch it in New Orleans.
I mean, that's one way to put it being best. Depends on.
I think one.
I got excited. Like, oh my god!
Honestly,
is he going
to
catch it?
It was a fun game to play, especially if you had like, you know, if you're like watching it on DVR or something.
So
you could just like pause it and you're like, all right,
is he going to catch it?
Here he goes. Is he going to catch it or not?
And then you survey the room.
You catch it.
We have a different definition of fun.
I like the upside for Cam's passing yards, where he can just dump the ball off to Christian McCaffrey, and the dude can go get 70 yards after the catch with his little shake and bakes.
They've never had a player like that before.
They haven't, and I love Christian McCaffrey. The thing is, from a quarterback standpoint, you know, counting on yards after catch is a tough way to live. It's the same thing that has doomed Alex Smith for so many years. Yes, he's got guys who can perform well with the ball in their hands, but that's asking a lot of your pass catchers all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's my concern with Cam, is that he's going to start to lose some of those passing yards. The hope is he ends up remaining as their goal line back, but I don't even know how much they want him to take that sort of punishment.
Yeah. Well, that's how he got that concussion,
taking
goal line carry.
I think he probably threatens for 5-6 rushing touchdowns this year.
There's no way he doesn't.
He had five last year.
Oh, he'll get a few. No, he'll definitely get a few.
He's going to get five.
I think, and he's even said, and I know some people really ran with this, with like Cam Newton's fighting the changes in Carolina, which I think was a little generous to interpret it this way, but he even said, like, you want a lion not to roar? Like, that's what he's good at. He's good at being a vertical passer. He's good at being a threat on the ground. I think they just want to evolve the offense to the point where that's not all that they can do, because that's literally all that they've done. And I will go on tilt about the Carolina offense at any point, so I'm going to try to not get triggered and be concise here. But they have only been a low percentage deep passing offense that's also based on his rushing. They have not had any other dimensions the last 3 years, and now they do.
All right, there you go. You know you're listening to a fantasy podcast when we start talking about George Kittle in San Francisco.
Oh yeah.
The Niners traded away Vance McDonald to the Steelers. Fifth-round pick George Kittle. He's making a lot of noise there in San Francisco. And I know a lot of folks not really paying attention to the Niners right now because, you know, they're bad. Okay, that's fine. I get it.
That's your mistake.
George Kittle, though, is making some waves. And his development was a big reason why the team that thought that they could move on from Vance McDonald, who was a big portion of that team last year. So, George Kittle, let's start with Vance McDonald. He goes to the Steelers. I was trying to rack my brain as to whether or not Ladarius Green was still on that roster. I couldn't even remember.
Cut him, I think.
So, Franchise, we'll start with you. He goes to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Is there any value there at all? I mean, Jesse James is – I don't know if he's the starter. Maybe he is, but I figure he's still have a role in that offense.
He might have a role. I just think they needed someone with more upside who can do more after the catch. Jesse James kind of catches the ball, and that's it.
Yep.
And he goes down.
That he does.
He's a limited player in that regard. He's a great blocker, but, like, pass catching, he's kind of a limited option.
Yeah, I think he was kind of forced into a catching role last year because Ladarius Green was
poor man's Heath Miller. Super poor man.
There's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense.
That's already a pretty low bar.
Rude.
There's a lot of mouths to feed in the Steelers' offense. We can't forget about Eli Rogers in the slot, Lev Bell catching passes out of the backfield. No.
I kind of had.
You guys.
Oh no, we've angered him.
We're not even to the block section yet.
Another factor to the Steelers' offense is Vance McDonald's speed. I tweeted a next gen stat. He had the two fastest speeds among tight end ball carriers last year.
Is that right?
And both of those were touchdowns.
Vance McDonald?
Yeah. And everyone is like, oh, he drops a lot of passes. He has a very high drop rate among tight ends. But when he does catch the ball,
He's gone.
He's home run threat.
He's fast for a big guy. He's legit fast.
So that's another wrinkle in that Steelers offense, maybe down the seam, you know, Big Ben.
Are you telling me that you don't know his 40 time, Jeff?
I do not know Vance McDonald's 40
time. He's athletic. Like, his metrics are good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Athletically.
McDonald kind of gives them –
I just don't know.
Go ahead.
I'm just concerned, like, he's joining the team a week before the season starts. I don't know how integrated he's going to be right off the bat. I wouldn't be drafting him.
Oh, I would draft him in my three tight end league?
Sure, in that format. Yeah.
Is Danger Zone a three tight end league?
I know.
Vance McDonald's 40 time?
4.69.
4.69.
Nice.
So nice.
But I think he kind of gives him the same dimension that they kind of wanted from Ladarius Green.
You saw that flashed a couple times when Green could get up that seam, how dangerous it was with Brown commanding attention on the outside. But this is also good news for Kittle because
– talk about 40 times. 4.52 on old George Kittle there. 94th percentile on – I knew I'd get
it. It'd be worth going to Facebook Live just to see James' reaction.
When I said 4.52, 94th percentile on mock draftable, 98th percentile broad jump on mock draftable.
I don't know if you know this. There is a growing underground George Kittle fan club. Like, the drumbeat is happening.
It was starting back in the offseason, too.
It really was.
But that when Vance McDonald was there, it was like, okay, we got to just chill on Kittle for now. Like, he's like a dynasty ad, not redraft. But now that – McDonald's out of the way, Kittle could be in the mix as like
much like
tight end.
The sun coming out from behind the shadow of a moon during the solar eclipse.
This is the face of a man who's just fallen.
Ready to shine.
Let's relax a little bit. He maxed out at like 22 receptions in college.
He was in the Iowa offense though. Like, they don't ever put up a ton of passing yardage.
Yeah, the leading receiver at Iowa usually catches like 37 balls. So, you know,
so
whatever.
We just think he's going to come in and be like a 60 catch tight end on the 49ers.
That's right. Yeah.
James is all in now.
Let's go. 4.52. What? Tight end? Let's go.
He does only have 10th percentile hand size.
Okay.
So hand size.
I'm sorry. But there's room for more people there in that. Besides Garcon, who's going to, you know, lead the league in receptions again this year, there's room for more players there in San Francisco.
All right. There you go. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, if he's got that kind of athleticism, I mean, you know, he could stretch the field. Sure. I love it. I absolutely love it. And as you mentioned, Vance McDonald now gone. Certainly that leaves a lot of volume at the tight end position anyways, for George Kittle. And here's the thing, too, right? Like, you know, you think about the quarterback situation. You know, Carlos Hyde is their best weapon. But you would think, given the lack of outside talent, that they probably will utilize the tight end?
Well, Kyle Shanahan's offenses have historically, you know, even dating back to his dad, Mike Shanahan, they've historically had a productive tight end involved. Mm-hmm. There wasn't too much of that last year in Atlanta because they had Jacob Tammy and then a rookie in Austin Hooper. And it is important to always throw cold water on rookie tight ends. They take a while they're a slow burn position. But, yeah, this is an offense that does – I mean, look back into his Washington days.
Okay.
You know, Jordan Reed started to emerge there. I mean, Niles Paul was even kind of a guy that –
true.
Well, look back to
Fred Davis.
Last year, even. You know, we saw Austin Hooper start to get some run in that.
And even Jacob Tammy had some streamable weeks the last two seasons there.
There you go. So, George Kittle, man, you are definitely listening to a fantasy podcast.
I train.
You like it. All right, here we go. Every throw, every catch, every two-minute drill, every fourth and inches, it is NFL football. And if it happened, it's on NFL Game Pass. If you are a hardcore fan of the NFL, there is absolutely no reason why you should not get NFL Game Pass. Now, all of us obviously use it extensively, but you know, can you guys talk about the All 22 film and Marcus, I know you love the condensed portion of that as well.
I do, you know, especially because obviously on Sundays being here, we see a little bit of everything, and it's hard sometimes to focus in on a game or two necessarily. So being able to watch those condensed games in the space of about, you know, half an hour or so, 45 minutes, it's great. It helps to catch up on the rest of the week, the things you didn't see. I love it. I love that. The All 22s are great. Being able to kind of see how plays break down. And
that's
that sort
my
of thing.
Favorite part.
Yeah. And Game Pass at its best is amazing.
The All 22 is great for things like earlier in the year when I was stumping for Doug Baldwin in the offseason, people were like, oh, he only benefits when Russell Wilson gets out of the pocket and stuff. You can go to the All 22 and look, every single one of his touchdowns, you search for Doug Baldwin touchdowns, except for one, has come when Wilson has been stationary in the pocket.
There you go. Kick off your free trial today, NFL.com/Game Pass. All right, let's get into 2017 season predictions slash hot takes. NFL.com/fantasy predictions. If you want to see all of our predictions, we'll get into some of them right now. And let's start off right at the top, fantasy player of the year. Alex Gilhar, give me your prediction.
You want the real one? The real one I put is Le'Veon Bell in the article because if he's going to be back for the full season, that offense is going to be high-powered. They're going to have a lot of scoring opportunities.
Going to be loaded.
You know he's going to get a lot of touches out of the backfield and a lot of passes out of the backfield as well.
Yep.
His ceiling is through the roof if everything goes well.
I co-sign that, man.
So it's not a flashy pick. I mean, we wanted to pick a good one. But now, for the hot take pick.
Hot take.
I was going to say, we explained like what we're doing here, that we're giving a real the real one, and then now we're going to give a hot take one.
So,
I feel as if we shouldn't tell people which one is which.
I don't know. They'll figure it out.
I think they'll be able to know.
I think they'll figure it out.
I know.
Won't be difficult.
Fantasy player of the year, George Kittle.
All right, the hot take.
That's not a hot take.
Not a hot take.
We want to bring some fire to these hot takes, so why not go with the ginger, the red rifle.
Oh, baby.
Andy Dalton.
Let's go.
Cincinnati.
Woo!
Now,
why might he be the fantasy player?
Why might he be the fantasy player of the year? Because this isn't just strictly highest scoring, but also, you know, kind of MVP. Yeah. You're getting Dalton at the back end of your drafts. Throw out last year. Everything went wrong.
That's right.
The guy was on pace to finish as a top five quarterback 2 years ago before he broke his thumb. Now he's got John Ross. Now he's got Joe Mixon. Tyler Eifert should be healthy. A.J. Green is healthy. He's got Boyd. He's got LaFell. That offensive line is slightly concerning. Don't care. Dalton could throw over 30 touchdowns.
Go.
And whew, then you're cooking if you get him in the 14th round.
MG, my guy Marcus Grant, give me your fantasy player of the year.
My actual fantasy player of the year will surprise no one. David Johnson.
Reach.
That's actually my hot take of the fantasy player of the year is David Johnson.
Unbelievable.
I mean, look, the dude is gunning for 1,000 and 1,000 yards. You know,
and he can do it.
He can do it. I mean, Bruce Arians saying, you know, who knows if this is true or not, but talking about the potential of him having 30 touches a game. He is where the offense runs through in Arizona, and he's got the ability. And, you know, he had an amazing season last year. If he can even come close to that again this year, he'll be a top
five. It wasn't fair, like, going against him in PPR leagues.
Oh, no.
It was just not.
No.
Take the L.
We'll try again next week.
On
to next
week.
Totally not cool.
So, my hot take fantasy player of the year, we're going with the Rook, Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, baby.
There it is, man.
Gonna wipe the sweat off my brow.
Man, we're going Christian McCaffrey. One. Like, he is
C-Mac player of the year. Let's go.
I'm telling you, man, that dude's putting football porn on Twitter every couple of days, man. Like, when you got the Panthers tweeting out Luke Kuechly looking like a top, man, and a tornado. Like, just spun around. It's Kuechly. It's Wesley Woodyard. I mean, we see veteran linebackers struggling trying to keep up with this guy. It's to the point that eventually, if they start lining him up in the slot, you will see a slot corner probably coming to face Christian McCaffrey. And the bigger part of it is...
And still lose.
The bigger part of it is the thing that surprised me, and I've said this before, I didn't think he could run between the tackles. But he's done that and done that pretty effectively so far in the preseason. I know Jonathan Stewart still has a role here, but this offense looks like it's transitioning to start to funnel through Christian McCaffrey.
Matt Harmon.
I thought my prediction for fantasy player of the year was already kind of...
It was very hottish.
More hottish than the rest of you goofballs 100%. Going with the top two
picks. I almost picked him, too.
Well, you almost did, but I did. I picked Russell Wilson as my fantasy player
of
the year.
Lord.
Because I think if you're going to eschew late-round quarterback drafting, you want to find that mid-range guy that has QB1 overall upside in his range of outcomes. And I think that Russell Wilson has that this year. Last season was a wreck for Wilson from a health perspective, and he really gunned it out and played through it all. His 3.8 touchdown rate from 2017 was a career low watermark. His career average actually sits at 5.6%, which is rather high, and he's cleared 6.3% three times over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And his rushing stats, 72 rushes for 259 yards, were also a career low.
Okay.
Obviously, being banged up, that's what's going to happen.
It's all coming up Millhouse for Wilson this year.
So he's due for already some progression in his statistics just based off his career averages. And couple that with the fact that Wilson has a resurgent Jimmy Graham who's looking more and more like New Orleans form Graham. The best slot receiver in the NFL, don't at me, in Doug Baldwin. He has two intriguing young speedsters in Paul Richardson and Tyler Lockett.
Bro, I don't think you need to give a hot take, really.
I know, right?
I just want to keep being like, yeah, boy!
He's got plenty of other ancillary weapons like a CJ Procise, like a Chris Carson, these running backs who could chip into the pass game. it's all coming up for Wilson. I really think he could finish as a QB1 this year, and you get him in like the 6th, 7th round as opposed to guys like
love it
going in the 3rd. So I really like Wilson as my fantasy player of the year this year. Okay. Now my hot take, which I feel like I'm kind of disappointing now, is Dez Bryant, which I still feel is like is rather hot.
That's kind of hot takey.
There's a lot of people that are worried about Dez Bryant from a schedule perspective, and he does have a tough slate of cornerback matchups. Also, people are worried about him being a low-volume receiver, but Dez Bryant has always been a low-volume receiver.
100%.
But what has buoyed him has been touchdown
production.
He's
a touchdown maker.
Beast.
And he has 11 – or he has two touchdowns in the playoffs. He had 8 touchdowns last year. He's still one of the elite touchdown receivers in the NFL. And I think Dallas as a team is going to regress this year, not just because they're missing Zeke, but just naturally that's going to happen. They will be taking to the air more. I think you're going to get wide receiver – 1 overall upside from Dez Bryant in the 2nd round. It's within the range of outcomes, and you're getting him at a discount. I think Bryant could well finish as a top 5 fantasy receiver again.
Franchise.
All right, last year I went with Aaron Rodgers as my fantasy player of the year and was correct.
You were correct.
So this year I'm going to go with him again because, duh.
And you'd be correct.
The one thing that kind of separates Rodgers from guys like Brady and Breeze is he uses his legs more. He can run. He's fast. He runs touchdowns in. He had 4 rushing touchdowns last year. He was the top fantasy scorer by about 30 or 40 points. It's usually always a quarterback. And his weapons are – they upgraded his weapons. They got Martellus Bennett at tight end. Randall Cobb is healthy again. They hopefully have a better run game than they had last year because it was terrible.
Yeah, they definitely.
So I'm chalking up
like
Aaron Rodgers.
No, I like it.
My hot take – is Derrick Henry.
Uh-oh, watch out.
Watch out.
The Derrick Henry love affair's back.
Move over, DeMarco Murray. The love affair's back.
It was never gone, Marcus.
That's true.
It just cooled off for a moment.
He averaged 4.5 yards per carry last year on 110 carries. Look, DeMarco Murray's coming off a hamstring injury. He doesn't look right. He's older. I think they want to – and Derrick Henry looks like after 1 year under his belt, he looks a hell of a lot better than he did last year as a rookie. Smoother, faster, kind of understands what's going on in front of him more. And he's a tank.
Yeah,
I say 10 rushing touchdowns and 1,200 yards.
Go get it. Go get it. I also said Lev Bell might be my will be the fantasy player of the year. I just feel like it's like a LaDainian Tomlinson type season coming for Le'Veon Bell, man. Like
he's
they
too
got
good.
They've got so many weapons there in Pittsburgh. And this is the part of it that makes me like, okay, why is this a bad thing? Like people are saying, oh well, Antonio Brown is there, Martavis Bryant is there. They're gonna get looks around the and I'm like,
they've been there the whole time.
I'm like,
bro, they've been here the whole time.
How is having more scoring opportunities a bad thing for Le'Veon Bell?
It's not.
So I just think, you know, look, he's a top 2 pick, and he absolutely needs to
Can
be.
I ask you one question about Le'Veon Bell, though, James?
Please.
Does he got bars or nah?
No, he does not have bars.
Okay, cool.
He goes by Juice. That's his. By the way, that's his hip-hop handle if you guys want to go find his work on SoundCloud. But my hot take is going to be Todd Gurley. It's an offensive line that's been revamped a little bit. They've added some pieces there. And I just think the offense in general is just going to click better. You know, it's the same guy we saw as a rookie, the same exact guy. I think the effort level will be higher this year. The volume is certainly in line for him to be an absolute beast. But I wouldn't be surprised if Todd Gurley comes out of nowhere and absolutely just wrecks shop.
I like the call.
All right.
Interesting.
Interesting. All right. Breakout player of the year. Let's go, Gilhar.
Breakout player of the year. I need to get to the appropriate tab. And of course,
you have a
call
hot
me a homer. Whatever. What for my break? Wait for the
homer.
Hot take.
For the hot take one. I'm more excited about that.
Oh God, I can't wait to get to that. I'll speed through this. We've talked about Ty Montgomery ad nauseum on this podcast.
Have indeed.
Same case with Le'Veon Bell. Oodles of scoring opportunities.
Sure.
Converted wide receiver. Can catch the ball. Looks like a beast running through the
tackles.
Love him. His upside is through the roof if he stays healthy and holds on to this number one job. And even if he doesn't, like back in the days of Eddie Lacy, I said this in Fantasy Live the other day, James Starks was stealing 20 to 30% of the backfield carries, and Lacy was still a top 6 fantasy back.
Right.
All right. That's that. For the Heat. You ready for this? Breakout player of the year?
I'm not ready.
Brian MFing Hoyer in San Francisco.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, now.
It's like 100 degrees outside in Culver City, but it might just be hotter in here.
Now.
I'm not ready, dude.
The thing is, Brian Hoyer, journeyman, never played a full 16-game season, keeps popping up for random teams, gets pulled for Ryan Mallett in Houston 2 years ago. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
However, you actually look at his production. Over his last 12 starts, he averages about 17 fantasy points per game. And that was on the Bears last year, which were bad, and then on the Houston Texans 2 years ago, which was also not a great offense.
Yeah.
Now what does he have? He also has Kyle Shanahan, a guy that's a master of creating situations for his team and playmakers to score fantasy points. Brian Hoyer isn't even on the GD radar in fantasy right now. You can pick him up and stream him in some of these weeks, and I'm telling you what, Brian Hoyer might just finish as a top 20 fantasy quarterback.
Man, breakout year at age 31.
That's right.
In fantasy.
That's right.
He hasn't done it yet.
It's never too late.
He threw the same amount of NFL interceptions as you did last year.
Also, for the record, in 2015, he had a five-game stretch before he got nicked up again where he was the starter, averaged 19.9 fantasy points per game during that stretch. That was the sixth highest total, trailing only Palmer, Manning, Brady, Breeze, and Phillip Rivers.
He is legit underrated.
He's underrated.
He's an underrated quarterback.
So if he plays a full 16 games in a Kyle Shanahan offense
with the best receiver in the NFL.
George Kittle.
Can I ask you, why does fantasy Twitter love Pierre Garçon?
Dude, I
love
Garçon. I've drafted more than anybody else this year.
I'm so utterly confused
He's actually good, and he's going to run in. He's my bargain on this list. We're not going to talk about bargains, but he is my bargain on this list if you go to fantasy predictions. He is going to inherit a ton of volume this year. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he's actually good. He's been productive throughout his career. His reception, success rate versus man coverage, 74th percentile last year.
Okay.
So he's a good player.
All right.
A good situation.
All right, there you go. But fantasy Twitter just they go crazy for Pierre Garçon.
Which is funny, though, that his value really hasn't come up.
No,
he's still getting drafted outside the top 35 receivers.
And that's why I'm saying fantasy Twitter loves this guy.
Nobody else is like,
I drafted him in my auction last night, and everyone was like, 50-50 on Pierre Garçon.
Yeah.
Have you heard his team sucks? Like, wow.
He also spent $35 on Jamal Williams.
Yeah,
I know.
Let's chill.
All right.
MG, let's go.
My breakout player of the year is Jameis Winston, and I've been driving the Jameis Winston train for a while now. I think top 10 finish seems nearly assured, barring some sort of disaster. And if things break right, I think he's a top 5 fantasy quarterback this year. I think adding DeSean Jackson means a lot to that team.
Yeah.
To go along with Mike Evans, Cameron Brate, and the running backs they have there. So I'm big on Jameis Winston.
Like it.
My hot take.
Hot take.
Going back with another rookie, Alvin Kamara.
Nice.
And this is a 180 degree turn for me, because I was sort of like, on Kamara during draft season.
Oh, dude.
I was super mad on Kamara. And I will tell you this, he has proven me wrong so far. I mean, I know it's preseason, but he has looked way more productive than I ever imagined he could be. Yeah. And, you know, I know there are guys in front of him, but the talk about Adrian Peterson is that, yeah, sure, he looks great and he looks like the old AD sometimes. But he hasn't been able to duplicate that consistently. And that's part of the problems of age and injury and that sort of thing. Eventually, you start to slow down there. Obviously, they don't like Mark Ingram. I don't know what the dude did. I don't know if he kicked Sean Payton's dog once upon a time. But they just don't seem to like him. So if you got one more guy who is performing well, who's drawing rave reviews in camp, who can both catch and run the football, it just seems like another excuse for Sean Payton to give Mark Ingram the Heisman. But not the trophy, the one that he actually won, just
not the good one.
The metaphorical, nah, bro, we don't really need you here. So I can see a situation where Alvin Kamara, in a high-volume offense that likes to get the ball up and down the field, Kamara could slide in there and open a lot of eyes. And right now, he's pretty much free in drafts.
I mean, what we saw, too, during the preseason, and I think what we'll see here, is that he fills out that, you know, Darren Sproles-ish type role in that offense. So even in – and I think even in limited opportunities, I think he can be highly efficient given the offense. And if that's the case, man, again, in standard scoring leagues, non-PPR, I love Alvin Kamara in terms of just being potentially a high-efficiency guy that you stash, you take late, you stash him, and you just see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. Mark Ingram has been banged up throughout his career. Adrian Peterson, obviously, as we know, getting up there in age and injuries as well. All right, Matt Harmon, give it to me. Breakout player of the year.
So my breakout player of the year is Stephon Diggs, Vikings wide receiver. He's coming into his third NFL season.
Stephon Diggs.
He already has 136 catches over the first 26 games of his career. So you can argue he's already kind of building a great resume. But I think this is the year where he really – explodes and becomes a top 15 fantasy wideout. He's one of the best route runners in the game. I mentioned reception perception earlier. He actually posted a 75% success rate versus press coverage in the games I charted of him last year, so he can beat press coverage. He separated well across the field, deep routes, short routes, intermediate routes, what have you. He can win at all areas of the field. And the he averaged 8.6 targets per game last year, so he should have really no problem getting over 130 this year, and that's perfect for a fantasy breakout player. And there seems to be this newfound concern over the fact that they're moving him to outside receiver and out of the slot. I mean, I have gotten
But do you think that's going to affect his production?
I feel like I have gotten 3,000 questions on Twitter.
Wait, why would that? Why would that be a concern?
First time in NFL history, apparently, that a receiver moving outside from the slot is a bad thing. Look, if
I'm so confused by this.
If
why would people tweet you that? That
because
makes no sense.
I think that's part of it.
Wow,
but it's just. I think people sometimes get a hold of like one thing and just drive it into the ground. And so I think that's where we are with this. And if a receiver can play outside, which I think Diggs 100% can, as I just mentioned with the press coverage stat, and I think we want him to do that. Like if they can do something beyond just get empty receptions like Jarvis Landry out of the slot, you want them winning vertically. You want them making big plays.
100%.
And I was tweeting about this today. I posted Sam Bradford's Next Gen Stats passer rating grid. And, yeah, he had the lowest percentage of his passes travel beyond 10 air yards. But when he went deep,
it was
20 extended air yards, he had 52 deep attempts and his 105 passer rating ranked ninth best in the NFL. So as long as that offensive line can hold up, he can go vertically. And the best passer rating on the grid was on the right side of the field where Diggs took 56% of his plays this preseason. I think we're completely fine that he's playing outside. Stop asking me questions about that. Now,
and rant.
My hot take is that Sterling Shepard is the fantasy breakout player of the year.
Oh, baby.
Sterling Shepard, a longtime favorite of mine, another reception perception guy.
Yes.
He obviously was the best prospect I charted at facing press and man coverage from back when he played at Oklahoma. This past year, as a rookie, he posted 71% success rate versus man coverage. He is strictly a slot receiver for the Giants, but they will be on three wide personnel all the time. He's just too good to me to lose out to Brandon Marshall, who is old, who is playing on a new team, who is already banged up. I think that Sterling Shepard outproduces Brandon Marshall this year and is a way better value. He and Pierre Garçon.
I agree with all of that. I never bought into the, well, Brandon Marshall's there, so forget Sterling. I never bought into that.
Completely. I think it's like so strange. He scored 8 touchdowns as a rookie and like they're just going to cast him asunder. No. Sorry that you didn't.
Thanks. We're good.
Yeah.
Here's Ride the Pine
Right.
Kid.
Right. And of course, like I have Marshall ranked higher than Shepard, but I think that the gap is way too far in ADP.
Hypocrite.
I mean, Shepard, well, because he's definitely a bigger touchdown threat, whatever, and he probably gets more targets, but I think that the chances that Shepard is a better fantasy asset than Marshall this year are much closer than we expect, and I think he could legitimately be a breakout player in an offense that is going to throw the ball, but also can't protect very well, so they might do what the Vikings did last year with Diggs and just dump a lot of passes off at Shepard. Who's
like
just too good.
We should try and keep speeding through these things.
Yeah,
I'm
talking too much about
heavy.
Receivers. I have crushed.
I mean, you that was your round there, but I'm just saying in general, we're running a little long. We got a lot to get through, so let's keep it tight, fellas.
Even not behind the glass, keeping us on track. Alex
Seriously,
Gilhar,
crack the whip.
Like also, I'm hungry and it's almost lunch.
I was gonna say.
You could have just said, "Shut up, Harmon."
Franchise, give me a breakout.
My breakout is Ameer Abdullah, running back, Detroit Lions. I think he's in line for 200-plus touches.
Dude, I agree.
People are concerned about the coming off the foot injury, which kept him out last year.
Yep.
No concern for me. If you watched any of his runs on NFL Game Pass, you would see
plug.
That he's back to full health. He looks fast,
explosive.
Quick, aggressive. He's catching passes. I love him.
I love
him. And you can get him at a pretty good discount. Now, my
hot take
player is another rookie running back in Houston, Dante Foreman. He was one of my top kind of sleeper prospects in this running back class.
Yeah, brah.
Dude is massive. He's fast.
And
he can catch the ball. I think he had some 71-yard touchdown reception earlier in the preseason. I think they're going to use him more than we think heading into the season. I don't know. I think he's going to come in goal line situations. Lamar Miller kind of broke down last year. I think Foreman is going to have a great year as a rookie there in Houston.
I like it, and I like
sexy.
It a lot. Biggest disappointment, Alex Gilhar.
Biggest disappointment for me, this is a pretty easy one, Leonard Fournette. He's still going in the second, early third round. I just cannot buy in on a guy with a foot injury already on a terrible offense piloted by turnover machine Blake Bortles. I just that
doesn't help.
You're going to draft him there. He could still even finish as like a mid-range RB2 perhaps, but like with his price, you're going to be mad. You're going to be mad. Too often.
Hot take.
Odell. Now, this is extremely hot, but
don't hurt my heart.
And I love Odell. I hope he has an amazing year, but you look at the things that have progressed so far to this offseason and from last year, and you could see a story unfolding where Odell, he's already banged up. Eli Manning's arm was starting to go last year. He's old. Their offensive line is turnstiles right now. Eli gets hurt. Geno Smith comes in. Or Eli doesn't get hurt and just disappoints. Or whoever. Ryan Nassib. I forget who their backup is. Geno doesn't make the roster.
It's Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson. Good Lord. That's even worse. So, like, look, Eli was already starting to fade down the stretch last year. Remember that playoff game? He was throwing passes short.
I thought their backup
was
that kid from
one-hopping.
Cal.
Oh,
Davis Webb?
Davis
Maybe,
Webb.
Well, they do
Davis
have
Webb.
Davis
He's like
Webb.
Their third he's, quarterback. Or something.
I think he's going to make the roster, which means that the backup is either going to be Geno Smith
right.
or Josh Johnson.
But so anyways, backup's already banged up. He could come back. Sometimes those injuries linger. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there could be a chance. The season could write itself where Beckham just is never healthy. His quarterback situation is dire. They can't protect, and it falls apart.
That would make me sad.
I don't want it to happen.
I don't want
but
it
could.
To happen. Biggest disappointment, MG Montgomery Scranton.
My biggest disappointment, Eugene Marquis.
No.
You know him as T.Y. Hilton. Look, a lot of it is the Andrew Luck thing. He's not going to be there. I mean,
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, I mean, if you want more, I can give you more. But no Andrew Luck. Forget about it.
Yeah.
My hot take here is Greg Olsen.
Gregory.
G-Reg. I do think with the way the offense is changing, you know, Christian McCaffrey, obviously we've hyped him up quite a bit. But I also think you're going to see sort of the resurgence of Kelvin Benjamin this year too. And I think that means he's going to get a lot of those red zone targets. He's going to get a lot of those downfield throws. I just think this offense is going to start to look different. And Greg Olsen, who's been fantastic for the last few years, is starting to slow down a little bit. He's starting to take on some of that Jason Witten dad running style that we've seen for so many years.
It's true,
so
though.
I think, you know,
it's
I think
true,
there's
though, man.
There
like
is a
lower back right. and his legs locking up, man. It's just
there is an outcome. There is a range of possibilities where Greg Olsen could end up being a big disappointment.
100%. I can see that. I can see that. Matt Harmon, give it to me.
So my biggest disappointment is a player that there's a lot of love for, I feel like, in this building.
100%.
Terrell Pryor from Washington. Look, I love the idea of Pryor in Washington, but I hate his draft price right now.
Third round?
Wide receiver 13, third round. I am all the way out on that. Look, from a route assignment and team's need standpoint, I think he's actually a really good fit in the offense. But I do not think drafters are accounting for just how crowded the Washington offense is. They have – and look, I realize that I'm about to list two players that will likely be injured at one point. Jordan Reed is an all-pro tight end. If he plays 12 games, he is going to lead the team likely in touchdowns and targets.
Wow.
And if he plays – Josh Doctson as well, another former first-round pick – I know he's gonna figure into the mix if and when he gets healthy.
You had me until Doctson.
Jamison Crowder is an emerging slot receiver who likely leads the team in receptions. They even have a receiving back in Chris Thompson, who
they
I think is going to be out there. That is going to be – with all those players out there, it's going to be tough for Pryor to hit 120 targets, which you really need him. You're banking on him to do that if you're drafting him at wide receiver 13. Not to mention, there's just been no chemistry with Washington's offense. There's a lot of turnover. So I just think people are –
The offense has looked horrible.
People are drafting Pryor at his ceiling, and I think he'll be a disappointment at that draft price.
Right.
Now, my hot take disappointment
is
LeSean McCoy. And this one's pretty simple. The Bills offense is going to suck. You don't want to associate your running backs with suck offenses. So it's pretty simple.
Okay, there you go.
Well done.
And he gets traded midseason to, you know, some team and has to learn a new system.
God, that's
so
the hot take
go.
Right there.
Wow.
I like that. Matt Franciscovich.
Yeah, my biggest disappointment is the running back that's being taken sixth among running backs right now, DeMarco Murray.
This has nothing to do with your Derrick Henry hot take.
Yeah, they relate to each other a little bit.
He's consistent.
They relate to each other a little bit. So, I think I have Derrick Henry as my breakout player of the year and my hot take fantasy, highest fantasy scoring player of the year. So
perfect.
Look, DeMarco Murray's – What?
There's a theme here.
There is.
A lot of Derrick Henry. Rip off that shirt. You probably got a tattoo right there on your head.
DeMarco Murray's being taken as a top 10 running back. He's coming off a hamstring injury. He got a few reps in the week 3 preseason game.
Yeah.
Didn't look so hot. Our buddy Chris Wessling of the ATN podcast even tweeted, I trust everything Wes tweets. Follow him if you don't for fantasy advice and just NFL.
Football takes.
Football takes. Yep. He said DeMarco Murray looks like a shell of what he looked like at this point last year. So it's probably has something to do with a hamstring injury, but he's another year older. He's got a lot of carries under his belt.
Yep.
I think this is the year that Derrick Henry kind of takes over that backfield and DeMarco Murray kind of slides into the background.
Okay.
My hot take for biggest disappointment. You guys ready?
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Tom Brady.
Oh, baby.
Everyone thinks this dude's going to throw for 55, 60 touchdowns.
Man. Cats Nation. Cats going to come for you, bro.
Maybe you didn't hear about it, but Julian Edelman's out for the year.
But
they don't have any depth
but franchise
beyond Julian Edelman
special,
at wide receiver.
Special
okay,
diet and microfiber underwear.
He's also 40 years old. Here are some stats in Tom Brady underwear. Since 2014 without yes. Julian Edelman. His passing touchdowns per game is an entire touchdown fewer, 2.4 to 1.4.
But $200 pajamas.
His passer rating with Edelman is 106.9 without 86.4. He's not going to be able to recover from the Edelman loss.
But
Tom Brady's going to crumble into dust.
What about the
Uggs? Crumble into dust. Wow. I've been burned before by doubting Tom Brady. Not this time.
This didn't go so well for us last time we did
not
it.
Not this time.
Waiver wire ad of the year, Alex Gelhar, whiz kid from Wisconsin.
Wendell Smallwood. We kind of touched on this earlier.
Nope.
But LeGarrette Blount. Wow. Okay. He's already splitting some first-team reps with LeGarrette Blount, who hasn't looked great. Wendell Smallwood had some flashes last year. If they don't address the situation in a different way. Yeah, he had some viable fantasy weeks last year.
Okay.
So, anyways, if they don't address the situation, Blount is too old, too slow, whatever. Darren Sproles and LeGarrette Blount combined for 64 years on this earth right now.
Woo!
That's a lot for two running backs. Wendell Smallwood could figure into the mix somewhere.
Wow.
And my hot take one is I'm going to franchise's backfield here. David Flewellen.
Oh, yeah.
Third string running back.
Let's go.
That's a hot take.
David
Flewellen. So if Carco Murray gets injured a little bit and then Derrick Henry takes over the load, they're going to need to spell him a little bit.
All right.
Why not with David Flewellen? Also, I had to pick him because shout out to Mark Sessler's fantasy corner. Two, 3 years ago, he mentioned David Flewellen. He was ahead of everybody.
So peek behind the curtain for everybody out there listening or watching on Facebook Live. Yesterday, we had a content meeting, just kind of the four of us here, and Gelhar dropped a Jalston Fowler. And now he's following up today with David Flewellen. Like,
yeah, baby.
I mean, you're just pulling like third and fourth string running backs out of
you wanted
nowhere.
Some heat.
This heat wave's getting to your head, man.
David Flewellen, fantasy playoff MVP.
You know, Flewellen was like the player that when Sessler would list him on the fantasy corner, I'm like, oh, I'm really embarrassed that like I remember
scouting him
at Toledo.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to do Flewellen twofold. One, and
beautiful.
Piggyback off that, and two, beautiful. Give a shout out to Mark Sessler's fantasy corner.
Which is one of the best things ever.
We don't have any
I
friends.
Love it. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant.
This might sound kind of hot takey here, but Mitchell Trubisky as the waiver wire ad of the year.
I like it.
I mean,
no, that's not even your hot take, bro.
I could see a situation where Mike Glennon falters, maybe he gets hurt, maybe he just plays poorly. But Trubisky steps in.
Or he just plays like Mike Glennon.
He just is Mike Glennon. Yeah. But I can see a situation where Trubisky steps in, and it's not a one-to-one comparison to last year with the Cowboys, but Trubisky could step in behind a good offensive line with a productive running back. He may not have the pass catchers that Dak had, you know, with Dez Bryant and Cole Beasley and what have you, but he's got guys who've been around. Kendall Wright is a guy who can be productive. Hopefully Kevin White does something this year. But I can see a situation where Mitchell Trubisky steps in, and for people who are streaming quarterbacks, who are going with a quarterback rotation, even two QB leagues, is a productive option for you by the end of the year. Hot takey, I'm staying in the same team. Who could be this year's Jordan Howard? Maybe the guy who takes Jordan Howard's job.
Oh, baby.
Tariq Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
The human joystick. Let's go.
The human joystick. I mean, the guy with North Carolina A&T.
North Carolina A&T.
That's right.
In the mighty MEAC.
The MEAC, man. Like, Tariq Cohen slides in there. If Jordan Howard cannot fulfill his running back duties and just jitterbug his way through that offensive line, catch some passes out of the backfield, and open some eyes.
By the way, can I just say this? Tariq Cohen has actually looked decent carrying
the ball.
He has.
Yeah. He's looked
like,
pretty good.
He's not a gimmick guy. This guy is obviously great out of the backfield catching the football. But I was incredibly impressed by how fluid he looked and how comfortable he looked running as an actual ball carrier.
And the other thing is, he sort of has that what they call it, the Jaquizz Rodgers ability, in the sense that he's 5'6".
Oh, he's
so that
tiny.
Means he ducks down behind these big offensive linemen, yeah. And you can't find him back
yep.
there.
Yeah, I've liked him. I think he's good, yeah.
Harmon, I can't wait till we get to your hot one here, yeah, as I see it on the rundown
let's
now.
Go.
So
Matt Harmon.
All right, so my initial pick,
waiver wire,
my actual waiver wire,
I like this
of
one
the
too.
Year, is DeAndre Washington.
Okay.
Right now, the second-year back is consistently going outside the top 50 running backs, which means he's likely going to get dropped in the first few weeks unless he absolutely blows it up. But by the time he is the best fantasy running back in Oakland come December,
wow.
People will regret that, and they'll be rushing to the waiver wire to add him. It is not unfair
wow.
at all, in my opinion, to call Marshawn Lynch the biggest unknown of the regular season of the 2017 season. The last
yes.
time we saw him touch an NFL football in a regular season game was November 15th, 2015. That's a long
time ago.
Long time.
So if he's washed, if he gets hurt, if he just doesn't carry a full load, which there's already been reports that might happen, Washington is going to be a potential lead back with pass catching upside in one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Okay.
Easy fantasy recipe for success. Now my hot take.
Hot take.
Here we go.
Laquon Treadwell.
Woo! We're cooking a little bit in here now.
So you're presuming he's actually on the field and stuff this year.
He was out there in the third preseason game making some plays, despite the fact that he was injured this offseason from, like, getting in training camp bites. I think they really do want Treadwell to be successful. They want him to be.
Oh, yeah. Last year?
They do want him to be
they
successful.
Look. I thought Treadwell was a really good prospect. I'm high on this Vikings offense.
Me too.
As am I.
Which
am
is
too.
Strange to say, but I think Bradford can get it done. I obviously love Stephon Diggs.
Man,
they have
what?
A good tight end in Kyle Rudolph.
What is wrong with y'all?
They have Dalvin Cook in the backfield.
Now my question for you, though, legitimately, though, is any worries about what happens when Michael Floyd comes back?
I don't even
ask a serious question and Geller starts laughing.
I won't even be surprised if Floyd doesn't make the team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean,
I love the fact that this is the disconnect between, you know, the common person drafting and fantasy Twitter, which is fantasy Twitter loves the Vikings too.
I do.
Which I get to a degree. I think their ADP is fair.
They're all cheap.
Oh, super cheap. Oh my God, they're so cheap. But that being said, we're acting as if Sam Bradford is going to be a locked and loaded, going to play 16 games.
Do
Let's
you
go.
Not remember?
It's Sam Bradford.
Do you not remember
fighting
week
behind
two,
one of the worst offensive lines?
Week two
football.
Last year against the Green
I
Bay
remember.
Packers.
I remember.
I remember Gelhar's sad face after that game.
I remember.
Bradford played really well last year. He
man.
Played well. The offensive
not,
line just fell
I'm not,
apart.
I'm not saying he's a bad player.
He can be a distributor.
I'm just saying.
James, when Treadwell catches two touchdowns against the Saints in week one, you come back in this podcast
Let's
studio and
go.
Talk about it.
Let's go. Franch, hit me with some waiver wire ads.
We both agree on our waiver wire pickup of the
Here
year.
Here we go.
Chris Carson.
Let's go.
Rookie running back in
yeah,
Seattle,
buddy.
Baby. A ridiculous preseason. Gotten some opportunities because of injuries and has taken advantage of those opportunities.
Mm.
He can catch the ball.
Preach.
He's a beast at the goal line.
Preach.
Trucking offensive linemen. You've seen my gif.
Oh, dude, I love it.
You've seen it.
Oh, I
seen
it.
I think if he gets an opportunity, which will probably only become come due to injury, which is probably likely.
What are you talking about? Thomas Rawls, Eddie Lacy? These guys are never hurt.
CJ Procise, I mean, he's going to run away. He's going to run away with this job if he gets a chance to be the primary back there.
Just to piggyback off of that, what I was saying, too, is that, you know, they are projected to have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL.
Don't care.
And, No. But what I was saying was his powerful running style to be able to generate yards on his own, I think that actually plays well
for
into
sure.
what Seattle wants to get done, which is establish the run. But it's hard to do that behind a broken and terrible offensive line.
Right.
Chris Carson could be the guy that it doesn't matter. Like, I'm going to generate yards on my own anyways.
Totally
I mean?
Agree.
So there you go.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
All right. My hot take is running back in Green Bay, Aaron Jones, another rookie.
Great
so
athlete.
He's third on the depth chart, I believe, behind Jamal Williams.
UTEP?
UTEP.
Yeah,
UTEP.
We know he has really good measurables,
yep.
was productive in college. He's a smaller back, but I think if something were to happen to Ty Montgomery, an injury, the sickle cell thing coming up, I think it would be a committee of Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. And I think as soon as Ty Montgomery misses a game or two, Aaron Jones is going to be a huge waiver wire add.
I like it. So, again, I love Chris Carson as a potential waiver wire add of the year. Let me talk about Ryan Fitzmagic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this one, of all the ones.
This might be the hottest of the hot takes.
Wow.
When Ryan Fitzpatrick gets on a team, Ryan Fitzpatrick becomes the starting quarterback. Is this not true?
This is true.
This is true. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't know what's going to happen with Jameis. I don't know what's going to happen with Jameis.
Crab legs finally come back to.
He's going
to
convert
bite.
To wide
but
receiver.
Ryan Fitzmagic somehow finds a way.
He really does.
Life finds a way, and Ryan Fitzmagic finds
suddenly
a way.
Dr. Ian Malcolm is here
right,
now.
That's a hot take.
What a way to end the predictions. Read the whole thing, NFL.com/fantasy predictions. There are categories we left off.
Very quickly, let's burn
leagues.
Through some listener league.
You want to start? Should we start?
Oh, no, I'll do it. I got a couple. James Rodriguez, this guy has been an ardent fan of all of ours. He follows all of us on Twitter, follows a lot of the ATN folks as well. At JamesR5204, he is a he either is a police officer or training to be a police officer in Southern California. I hope I got the right guy. Now that I think about it, I don't know if I do, but it doesn't matter.
Uh-oh.
James R5204, you're in the league.
You're in.
I did go through his Twitter timeline, and he's very active, which is great. And he's very much into sports, music. Oh, and I think he's also into boxing and MMA. He checks all the boxes for me. Plus, he's got a strong name. James Rodriguez, welcome to the Danger Zone League.
Nice.
Second Woo! Selection, Chip Soares. He's got a very cute daughter. He is a beverage director at a sushi joint in Colorado.
Nice.
Sent us a very nice review. It was that Darth Fantasy review.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that.
I remember that one.
We're all Star Wars homers here.
Death
so.
Star blows up. Spoiler.
Alert.
You should ask him, how do you operate a sushi joint in Colorado?
Well, he's the beverage director there.
So he's slinging sake.
Oh, dude. Firing those sake bottles.
Loves some sake.
Absolutely. Next time I go to Colorado, and here's the thing. Next time I go to Colorado, who am I going to call?
There you go.
Ghostbusters.
Hey. Jesus Christ.
I thought that was your setting up for that.
No, negative.
Oh,
so nice. James Rodriguez, Chip Soares, welcome into the Danger Zone League, OG League.
Hit. All right. Also, want to give a quick shout out to everybody. You know, we thank you all so much for your reviews, for helping us out. You guys did a lot of kind words, really warmed our hearts to know that you guys are out there and you enjoy the pod so
100%.
Much. So,
my heart's
sorry
cold,
if you
actually.
Didn't get into this league, but find other listeners, create listener only leagues if you didn't get into these, and try again next year.
Yeah,
but
that would be fun.
Our final entrant in the OG League, submitted on iTunes, Nick Yaroma, titled entry for Fan League, 5 stars. This
Nick
was a good one because
Yaroma.
We needed to round out our top 10, and he had a very creative review. Said, I couldn't praise this podcast enough, so I brought in my friends to help me do it.
Ooh.
And I quote, 6 letters here just for everybody out there in fantasy land. LISTEN, attributed
like
to Aaron Rodgers.
I like it.
I like this, attributed to Kirk Cousins. And I said, are you listening? They said, the listening. If you listening, I said, we listening there.
Wow.
Quoted to Jameis Winston. Wow. And the last quote he got for it, better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's, from Peyton Manning. So he says, I hope I can get into the fan league with a smiley face. Nick Yaroma, congratulations. Your creativity got you into the OG league. So hit us up on Twitter so we can get your email address and get that started.
Atta baby. Hipsters League, let's go.
All right, so this one, at Driftin' Hippie on Twitter, which I already like the name.
That's a great start.
His first name is Jonathan. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
That's a great.
He sent us in his review and a couple of highlights from the review.
Yes.
And I think everybody's going to like this. One, he says, the guys that run this show are legit. Really wish they'd bring Co and Rank back to the Fantasy Live TV show. It's a little dull without them. Good news for you.
Coming back. Disagree.
No offense. Wow. All right. He said, no offense to the rest of the guys, especially since I relate to the Mats the most. Kind of a hipster, but not really.
Yes.
Love to be in any league with you guys.
Okay.
He also brews his own beer, which he sent screenshots in. So obviously.
Very strong.
Had to get that going.
Bonus points.
Good.
So we are welcoming you as the last listener
into
listen
the Hipsters League.
Quick Hipsters League disclaimer. We have one guy who has not reached out since I put him in the league, at Scott Donnelly. Scott Donnelly, hit us up on Twitter, bro. I need your email address.
You know what? Let's put a clock on him.
If he's not listening to the podcast and knowing
I'm
not going to like go out of my way to
next
find
episode.
Him.
If he doesn't have Here's it, we just pick somebody else.
We're putting him on a clock.
Sure. And I sent an invite to just about everyone else in the league this morning.
That's
so
right.
You should have it in your emails.
I declined mine. Could you send it again?
No.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So that gentleman is on the clock.
Yes.
If Scott he doesn't Donnelly. Respond by Monday.
Yeah.
You're out.
We're picking
pal.
Someone else, bro. We're
that's
hipsters.
Right.
We don't mess around.
Oh,
so
right.
We've got one last segment. We haven't also gone back behind the glass to producer Chris.
Yeah,
did
producer
we
Chris?
Get the block party drop in the board yet or no?
Guys, we got no block party.
No
block party.
Why don't we just scream it ourselves?
We're already. I'm
well, basically that's what
we will. This there's already a lot of energy in this podcast. So
let's go the block party. This is a basically a mean tweet segment. We are going to read some interesting tweets that have come our way. And we will explain why you're getting blocked, pal.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to start with Alex Gilhar. Hit me, bud.
All right. So about a week or so ago, I wrote streaming quarterbacks for for week one, and Sam Bradford was among them.
Yes.
And somebody, Chris Saffel, at CSaffel1 yes. on Twitter, hit me back with so this is the year Sam Bradford will break out? That train has sailed. You're getting blocked for two reasons. One.
Sailed?
I never said he was going to break out. I said you can start him for week one. And two, since when do trains sail? get your metaphors and quips in line, bro. You're blocked.
Blocked.
I've seen a sailing train.
Chris Saffel. What?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Chris Saffel, you've been blocked.
Blocked.
Block party.
Block party.
All right, MG, my guy, Marcus Gray.
Worst segment ever.
Literally a week ago, the NFL fantasy handle tweeted out my list of players to avoid. Bearer of bad news, Marcus G. delivers his list of 2017 fantasy football busts. Mm. Touchdown Buttons, at TD_Buttons, responded back with,
"Okay.
Does anybody know how many fantasy championships Marcus has won? Zero? To which point... props to franchise, who immediately fired back with a photo of me drinking out of the cup
from
the Fantasy Live Championship trophy. So franchise had my back. So you know what, TD Buttons, one, nobody has to put their freaking resume out there when they're like analyzing fantasy football. But two, you are wrong, and you are blocked.
You're blocked.
Chris, you're really going to have some audio work to do on this one to lower these so we don't blow out people's
eardrums.
This is
better than the drop guy.
I think it is.
Probably is.
Because it's different every time.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. I love this. Matt Harmon.
Yeah, so I don't block too many people.
I block
everyone.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Yeah, franchise has got a long block list.
Oh, my God.
You're blocked.
Let it run through the rest of the podcast. No, I don't block too many people, but... just yesterday, I don't have the tweet queued up because I forgot.
Cool.
Yesterday I tweeted about the Stephon Diggs thing and how many people were asking me questions, and I had a few. I said this move outside does not hurt him, and I had at least two or three people respond with funny because everything else seems to. Look, I do not get upset about much on Twitter.
Okay,
but your stupid jokes about players' injuries are one. Rude. I'm going to come in and break your legs and see how you feel about it.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's a threat.
I don't know. Listen, I don't think you're going to be tweeting cute jokes about it. That's all I'm saying.
It's a metaphor for blocking you.
And two, they're never funny. Like, that's the thing is they're literally – they're never clever. If they were clever, maybe we'd let it get by. But so, yeah, those people, you're blocked.
Yep. You're blocked. Block party.
What was that?
All right, French.
There's
Was that Tom Brady? I don't understand.
French, you got multiple people you're blocking?
I have two. Can I do two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I was going to say, we might want to just let him read
by the way,
franchise
episode.
Is mad online a lot.
Oh, dude, peek behind the curtain here.
So I've already blocked this guy
year,
but I revealed what?
French loves to block
people. He's mad online.
Yeah, do not tweet at me or I'll block
him. Well, we were going
to. Do not.
We said yesterday, the franchise's Twitter process is one. Step one, tweet. Step two, get pissed.
I hate
it's so great.
I don't like it.
It is so great. All right.
All right. This first one happened last year when I tweeted out my Kristen Michael breakout article.
Yeah.
It said draft him in the 15th round.
Okay.
This guy replied, "How do you have a job? Your fantasy analysts would help me finish 14th in a 12th man league." Immediately blocked. Sorry,
John Davis.
Also, not
you have been blocked.
Not analysis. Analysis.
Yeah, and it was a run-on sentence with no caps or periods. So,
a
life.
Yeah.
All right, the other one came for when I tweeted out the Jets wide receivers depth chart in March. And I said, at that point, Eric Decker and Quincy Enunwa were still alive on the roster.
Yep.
I said, has the Jets wide receiving core ever been uglier? And Jets Twitter came at me like they'd never come at me before. This guy, this one guy replied, Dave Nuss. He says, who are you? Why are you talking about the Jets? And how are you Twitter verified? Because saying things like this is just .. Ugh.
You know what?
You know what, Dave Nuss?
..
You're blocked!
Oh, man, this is the best segment.
Woo, this feels great. Can we just do this for the rest of the year?
Oh, my God. All right.
You're blocked!
I love this tweet, James, too, that you're blocking here.
All right, so I'm going to be blocking a fellow by the name of David Charlie. He tweeted this at me. Quote, please quiet. All your advice is horrible. How you've lasted this long is simply amazing. At James Deco.
Is he trying to tell you to quit? Is that what was happening?
That
yes.
Okay. It's please quit.
Quite.
Please, but please quite. But he typed it out as please quite. Quite. And I responded by saying, I will never quite. apparently, he's a big Rich Eisen fan. So, again, I don't block people either unless it's racist.
Yeah.
But
racist, homophobic, or you use the R word, those are the only qualifications. Or apparently you tweet about India.
But for the sake of the segment, watch it happen right now.
Of the segment, guess what? David Charlie, you have been blocked.
You got blocked.
Oh, man. I think we might have to do this every week.
Oh, God. Feels great. I got
to know about every week. Maybe it's like a mid-season
thing. Yeah, mid-season block party.
Oh, wow.
That and a Christmas block party.
So insane. We're going to close out the show with Daily Daps.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily Daps and Hugs.
All right, here we go. Daily Dap time. Alex Gilhar, give it to me.
Daily Daps to week one being next week. I'm so glad it's here.
Oh, yeah,
I'm so out of takes. I'm so done with the preseason and the off season. Give me new film to watch. Give me new data to analyze. Just
more takes to have.
I want the warm embrace of the NFL season to hold me.
I like
preseason
next
week
and
four
Sunday.
Film is gonna be lit.
It's gonna be crazy. Yeah.
Matt Franchise, give me a Daily Dap, please.
I'm going to give Daily Daps to this article I saw on Vice's music section called Noisy. It's called Taylor Swift Needs to Sit This Year Out. It's an op-ed, and it is very enlightening. I don't like Taylor Swift very much. I don't like her new song. I don't know if you guys know.
Okay.
But she's known for writing her own songs, right?
Taylor Swift is?
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
That's one of her big things. She's
That's
a good
right.
songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She ripped off I'm Too Sexy, credited that
the person.
Credited on the album credits as, like, I ripped off your chorus and put it in my song. If you listen to the songs back to back, it's like, holy crap.
Wright said Fred should come stomping through the door.
He's getting money out of single sales from Taylor Swift's new song because he basically wrote the chorus. I don't like her. She's avoided politics in a very tumultuous time in our country here.
Okay.
And, you know, there's this quote from Dante's Inferno that John F. Kennedy used to say, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in time of moral crisis, preserve their neutrality.
Oh, man.
Wow. And Taylor Swift is an artist with millions and millions of followers, and she sat by and was quiet and did nothing last year. And for those reasons, she's getting a negative Daily Dap.
The hot take episode continues.
I know. This is the hottest episode we have ever had. Matt Harmon, do you have a Daily Dap, my friend?
Yeah, and it's not hot. I just want a Daily Dap as we're coming here to the dawn of the season.
Yes.
And the end of the preseason. That's how it goes. I just want a Daily Dap to everybody that supported the Reception Perception this offseason and purchased the Ultimate Draft Kit where that was in. Really appreciate it. The sales were awesome. It's great to see so much support. It was an awesome platform that the fantasy footballers gave me. If anybody else is interested in it, you can, of course, go to receptionperception.com and click on the link with my little face there to purchase access to it.
So second pod in a row that you've dapped yourself.
No, I'm dapping the people. I'm dapping the people who have supported me in this adventure, financially, spiritually, and emotionally, which none of you jackasses did.
Lie.
No,
I feel like I bought you a
beer. Did.
I feel like I bought you a beer at some point.
Oh,
I
bought
so
Reception
Daily
Perception.
Daily Dap to Marcus Grant.
I bought Reception Perception, bro.
Yeah, but you just undid it by hurting my feelings.
Give me my money back.
Wow.
Can't do that. Take it up with customer
franchise,
support.
Franchise, accurate. Second episode in a row.
We should start a tally.
Here, you know what? Just take the here's good. $20. Perfect. Get off my back.
MG, my guy Marcus Grant.
You know, I'm a daily dap. Well, J.J. Watt maybe in particular, but just all the folks down there in Houston, because it's obviously a bad,
dude,
bad
what
situation.
What J.J. Watt is doing is amazing.
I mean, as donated to his
family. As of this recording of this podcast, he has over $10 million that he has helped raise for the recovery efforts down there in Houston. But yeah, just so there's so many people, obviously, whose names we don't know, whose names we may never know, who have been involved in trying to help out there with the floodwaters, whether it's rescuing people, whether it's offering shelter or any just sort of comfort or whatever that you can down there. You know, and I know it's always really sad and hard to see these sorts of things. It's even harder when you know people there. I've got family in the Houston area. I've got family in the Port Arthur, Beaumont area in East Texas, which is also starting to get hit really hard in this last part of it. But honestly, just everybody out there who's down there, stay safe, stay smart. You know, hopefully help will come.
Yeah.
But daily daps definitely to all the people who are helping. J.J. Watt has certainly been front and center in that effort. He will be the king of Houston for a very, very
true.
Even when he's done playing.
He already was.
He already was, but he's locked that in now, probably forever.
Daily daps. My daughter's going to preschool.
Uh oh.
She just started preschool. I felt sad.
We can't really call her Baby Cohen.
Dude,
anymore.
No. I think that portion of her life is now.
Is she toddler co now?
I don't know.
Kitty co?
Maybe.
Kitty co.
Kitty co?
Did it go?
I feel a little weird saying.
Yeah.
But it is an alliteration.
But, you know, it's KK, so.
It's a little awkward.
It's getting awkward.
All right.
Pass. I'm going to remain neutral in this time of moral crisis.
Going to hell,
therefore
buddy.
Be going to hell.
Going to hell. The hottest place in hell.
No, maybe TK. Maybe we'll go with Toddler Co.
TK is good.
I like
TK
that.
Is good.
TK.
All right, so
color me skeptical, you know?
Surprised it took that long.
Just want to throw that.
Oh, I totally forgot.
Oh, man, we dropped the ball.
All right, all you guys are blocked.
I'm on it.
Blocked.
You guys suck.
Color me skeptical. so, yes, I don't really know. It's not, I guess, untraditional daily dap, but, yeah, it's she just started preschool this week, and I'm like, man, I am washed.
Yeah.
I am absolutely.
Confirmed and promoted.
We've been telling you that for like a year or so now.
Yeah.
I know, but
I've been trying to tell you that since they met you.
will you stop? Producer Chris, Daily Dap, what you got, brah?
Yeah, I
got
to piggyback on Marcus, man. You can't overstate what J.J. Watt has done. Over $10 million as of this morning. And there's so much negativity in this world. It's so cool to see just the humanity and everybody raising money for Houston. So
absolutely.
Shout out to J.J.
Agree.
Watt for sure.
Very, very cool. All right, so. Go to NFL.com/fantasy, sign up a team, sign up your league, do it right now. Sign up for Game Pass, get your free trial, NFL.com/Game Pass. For the boys, we got producer Chris, we got franchise, we got MG, my guy Marcus Grant, Matt Harmon, West Virginia's finest, we got the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Kellhart. I'm James Coe. We'll see you Monday.
See you later.